Iran threatens to block a key oil artery and roils the oil market.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Jeremy Hobson. Oil prices are down a bit this morning after a Saudi oil official says his country would pump more crude. That follows Iran's threat to block the Strait of Hormuz, where about one-fifth of the world's oil passes through. Iran says it's angered by international warnings of further sanctions over nuclear plans. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins me now live. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Adrian.
So how big of a deal is this for the world oil supply?
Well, we're talking about a great deal of oil passing through a very narrow waterway that links the Persian Gulf with the outside world. An Iranian blockade is potentially the biggest threat to world oil supplies in recent years, worse even than the Libyan situation. Here's Samuel Chizuk of the consulting firm KBC Energy Economics.
It was tough enough to handle the Libyan crude exports being shut in earlier this year. This would be on a completely different scale. So, it is a nightmare scenario.
But the price of oil has actually dropped today. Is this a credible threat we're hearing?
Though potentially horrendous, it's not totally credible. Remember, a blockade could be an act of war against other Persian Gulf oil producers. Most are allies of the U.S., and the U.S. has its fifth fleet based in the region. And undoubtedly, U.S. warships could defeat the blockade by giving safe passage to oil tankers through the Gulf. Nevertheless, there is a threat of disruption.
Now, the Iranians issued this threat because the Europeans are pushing for new sanctions over Iran's nuclear program. Would more sanctions result in higher oil and gas prices?
Perhaps not. I mean, this is a big global market we're talking about. The U.S., of course, doesn't take any Iranian oil, but China, Japan, India, South Korea all take a lot of Iranian oil, and it's likely they will take a lot more oil if the EU stops taking those supplies.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks.
Okay, Adrienne.
Now let's do the numbers. World markets are mixed this morning. In Asia, markets are down as industrial output in Japan dropped 2.5% last month. The Dow closed off just 3 points yesterday at 12,291. Now to New York, where negotiations start today between building owners and the union representing the people that clean those buildings. The four-year contract will cover 22,000 workers, and it's shaping up to be quite a fight. There hasn't been a strike in more than a decade, but these are different times, as Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
36-year-old Ivan Almendares is sweeping the sidewalk outside the physics building at New York University. He works there as a janitor.
We clean the offices, the bathroom, we scrub, we strip, we wax. Whatever they ask us to do, we got to do.
Almendares has been a member of the Service Employees International Union, or SEIU, for nearly 20 years. He's the sole provider for four children and a wife who has cancer, and says a strike would be financially devastating.
It means that I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. Like I said, my wife, we got bills from the hospital. I don't even know how we're going to do it, but all I know that it's the right thing to do to go on strike.
There's a new determination and anger among union members this year, according to SEIU President Mike Fishman. They're fighting pay and benefit cuts.
There's a sense in this country now, and I think Occupy Wall Street crystallized it, that equal opportunity in this country, there's a sense that that's being taken away.
Unions of all kinds are gaining momentum, says Michael Hillard, a labor economist with the University of Southern Maine.
We could look back on 2011 as the year that the labor movement got its mojo back.
Hillard says the public increasingly sees unions as part of the 99% instead of bloated, business-crippling organizations. And that's giving them the confidence to threaten strikes.
But what I think is different is this sense that if they go on and strike, there will be a lot of people there to support them.
But Hillard says it's the worst of times for unions, too. Building owners have already been lining up people to replace the office cleaners, and there's not as much money to go around as there used to be, says Howard Rothschild. He's negotiating the new union contract on behalf of the building owners.
When we sat down 4 years ago with the union, rents were close to $90 a square foot. Today, rents are about $47 a square foot, about half of where they were.
and vacancies have doubled. Still, if there's no resolution by January 1st, workers say they'll strike. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
On January 1st, San Francisco becomes the first place in the country where the minimum wage workers will make more than 10 bucks an hour. So what'll it mean for the city's famous restaurant industry? Marketplace's Jennifer Collins finds out.
Daniel Schroeder owns Palio d'Asti, a restaurant in the financial district known for its homemade pasta. Beginning Sunday, every one of his waiters will make $10.24 an hour plus tips.
What I end up paying a waiter is what Manhattan pays plus what Boston pays plus what Chicago pays.
That's because restaurants in other parts of the country can pay waiters below minimum wage. In San Francisco, they can't. Schroeder says that's trimmed his profit margin to the bone. He now gets his pastries made outside the city, and he's cut back on anyone the restaurant can do without.
The job of busboy is pretty much going the way of the dodo bird.
The minimum wage hikes have also changed the kinds of restaurants cropping up in the city. Rob Black is the executive director of the Golden Gate Restaurant Association.
You start having a lot more quick service restaurants as opposed to full service restaurants.
Or as Schroeder puts it, you open up a fine dining spot to establish your name as a chef. You drive a food truck to pay the bills. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, some people are willing to pay big to relive disaster, and not just any disaster. A British company has nearly sold out of two memorial cruises that will recreate the doomed voyage of the Titanic. According to the Independent newspaper, the cruises will include history talks, a memorial service, but no actual iceberg collisions. The price tag for the macabre adventure, up to $9,300 per room. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.